Well, hello, hello, welcome, welcome back to Waffle Free Storytelling. It's Tina Constant here, and you know the jibber jabber's at the end, so we're jumping right into this week's story, which is called The Pathmaker. Now, there was a woman, not so long ago and not so far away from where you once were, who was known for her skill and expertise as a pathmaker. Wherever you wanted to go, you called on that woman and she would lay the path ahead of you so that you could find your way. She delivered an invaluable service that led to flourishing lives and careers and passions and adventures of people across the land. What made her service even more precious was that it was never out of reach of anyone who needed a path. This wasn't a service that was only for the rich and the successful. It was for everyone. Anyone who came to her door who was clear about where their path should go could ask for the Pathmaker. It didn't matter who you were or what you owned. You couldn't jump the queue or take anyone else's place. Now, even if you waited patiently and it finally came to be your turn, if you suddenly realized you didn't know where your path should lead, then no matter who you were, no matter how rich you were, or how blustering, or dogmatic, or bullish you were, you would be dismissed. As you can imagine, this did not sit well with some. There were some who believed that because of their status or their position or their wealth, that their desires should be handed to them on gold and silver. So when one such man was dismissed by the Pathmaker, he vowed that he would make her pay for what he believed was her arrogance. Well, the Pathmaker had been threatened before. So with a shake of her head and a sigh, she said, "Come back when you're ready." And she closed the door on that man so that she could focus on the next person in line who knew where they wanted their path to lead. This man in question was Ibba Meek, of the Meeks of Highgrove, heir to the Meek family fortune, with roots going back 5,000 years in industry started by the gods themselves. It was that Ibba Meek who the Pathmaker dismissed. Incandescent with rage, Ibba Meek called a meeting of every connection he had and demanded that the Pathmaker be brought to heel. "She is making paths in the world for anyone, anyone who wants one. She dismissed me in favor of some penniless girl with no shoes on her feet or words to say for herself. She didn't even have coin to pay for her path, but still, the Pathmaker gave her one anyway. It's an insult." And Ibba Meek's friends all agreed that something had to be done, but mainly because, in one way or another, they all owed Ibba Meek's money. It took less than a week for Ibba to get the support of the most powerful people in the land, who commanded that the Pathmaker make a path for Ibba no matter what. The Pathmaker was mortified. Never in all of the centuries of work had such a demand ever been made on her. Seeing the distress, her apprentices stepped forward and relieved the Pathmaker of the obligation. The apprentices were sisters. They were triplets, three girls, identical in every way. They packed their bags and their tools, and they met Ibba Meeks at his front door to start his path. "Which way do you want to go?" the apprentices said with a voice as one. As though a difficult path would punish the Pathmaker herself, Ibba chose a destination that went over mountains, across plains, and over the greatest of lakes. The sisters smiled, and with Ibba Meeks riding his horse, the triplets began to lay the path, stone by stone, humming as they went. The apprentices didn't so much as pause as they went. Ibba Meeks, on the other hand, not used to the heat or the cold or the altitude, needed to slow down and stop almost every mile. "Your path is clear," one of the sisters said. "We will go ahead you follow when you are able. So after 3 days, the sisters were far, far ahead, and Ibn Meeks was out of sight. They lay the path over the mountain, along the valley, along the riverbed, and into the forest. With Ibba slowly catching up, he finally came to the river. Standing on the riverbank, he complained that the path so far had been too rough or too smooth or too narrow or too broad. And when he saw the river and realized the sisters weren't going to build a bridge, but were expecting him to walk through the water, he was furious. "How am I supposed to cross the river in these fine boots with all of my baggage?" He shouted so loud he scared his horse, who, in sheer exasperation of his rider, threw him off his back and disappeared across the river into the trees on the other side. Watching the sisters turn their backs on him and keep moving forward, Ibn Meeks cursed and he swore and he lifted his tunic, and after half a day of grumbling, he finally crossed the river, moving fast because the current was so strong. By the time Ibn Meeks got to the other side, he had lost everything except the clothes he wore. Drenched and exhausted and with the sun going down, he lit a flaming torch and stalked into the forest, vowing to find the apprentices and throw all three of them off a cliff. Ibn walked for half the night. And finally, he saw lights ahead of him. "There you are," he shouted. "How dare you desert me in the middle of nowhere?" But when Ibba got to the fire, the sisters weren't there. It was the young girl, the one who had taken his place, the one the pathmaker had dismissed him for, the one with no shoes and no pennies to her name. But there she was, wearing fine leather boots with a roast pheasant over the fire. The girl looked around her. "Which is your path?" the girl asked. And Ibba said nothing, because his path had crossed the girl's path and a dozen others, north, south, east, and west, and every direction in between. "It's easy," the girl said. "If you know where you're going, you will know which path is yours." For the first time in his life, Ibn Meeks had no words to say. All through the night, he sat with the girl by the fire at the crossroads and said nothing. As the sun rose, the girl picked up her bag and got back on her path. Ibn rose with her and made to follow, but the girl held up her hand. "Tell me this," she said as gently as she could. "If you had 12 soups to sip from, and you knew which one you did not like, would you sip it just because someone else did?" And Ibn shook his head, and the girl smiled. "So here you have 12 paths to choose from, and you know that this one is not yours because it is mine. Would you walk it just because I am on it?" And Ibn shook his head. "Find your own path, Ibn Meeks," the girl said, "even if it means getting lost." No one heard from Ibn Meeks for a long time after that, but there were stories. In fact, for a full 80 years, there were stories of a man in black boots and heavy coat and a determined stride, walking every path in the land and never stopping or even pausing, determined to find his own path, the path the sisters had made just for him. The only way he knew to track his progress was in fine leather binders that, when full, he would leave in a rock, inviting other travellers to pick up and make use of. What Ibn Meeks learned on his travels filled hundreds of these journals. 81 years after that night at the crossroads, Ibn put his bag down. He lit a fire and he closed his eyes. He was tired, but he didn't know how to stop searching. When he opened his eyes, there in front of him, across the fire, was the pathmaker herself. Maybe it was the flames in the fire or the moon, he didn't know, but she looked exactly as she did when he first stood in front of her all those years ago. "Where do you want to go?" she asked. "Home," Ipa said. "I want to go home." Pebble by pebble, step by step, the pathmaker did what she had been doing for thousands of years. Following that path, it took Ibba Meeks less than a week to get home. And when he did, he found his door was open and his house was full and overflowing with people he had never met. All of them knew his journey, every twist and every turn. And it was no surprise, these were the people who had found and read and used his journals to carve their own paths. After days of good food and good conversation and rest, there was a knock on Ibba's door. Even before he opened it, he knew it would be the pathmaker. "Where do you want to go now?" she asked. And Ibba smiled and he said, "Thank you, but I know enough about the shape of the world to forge my own path." Well, there you go. Now, you know, as I was putting that story into the book, I found this quote by Joseph Campbell that really got my attention. The quote is this: "If you can see your path laid out in front of you step by step, you know it's not your path. Your own path you make every step you take. That's why it's your path." I like that. Hey, it's tough to find when there are so many influences around us. So many bits of advice and parental guides and social who knows what. It's difficult to know whether you're on your own path or whether you're just following a path that's being put in front of you. It's probably one of the greatest challenges of being a human being, you know, knowing where you want to go, forging that path and sticking with it no matter what, even if it means getting lost. Which we are a lot of the time, right? But then it's also some of the best adventures. Hey, have a beautiful, beautiful day. Examine your path for a moment and make sure it's the one you want to be on. In the meantime, drop around to www.tinaconstant.com. That is Constant with a K. All the stuff is on there. It's my home on the webs, and you're welcome. So, see you there. Have a splendid, splendid week, and I'll see you next time for some wild and unexpected, strange shenanigans from Waffle Free Storytelling. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.